Begin the current Maseftes Menachas Daf Chav Tes. Begin 6 lines down at the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues discussing the Menorah, which was the first item mentioned in our previous Mishnah regarding things that are Ma'akvin Zeh, which we spoke about the 7 branches of the Menorah that are each integral. So the Gemara quoted Shmuel in the name of an elder that the height of the Menorah, which is very important because one's not allowed to make the exact dimensions of the Menorah in his own Menorah, has to be only that in the Beis HaMikdash. So Shmuel had said that was 18 Tefachim high. And that the Gemara says, Amar Rav, he says, Gevish a menorah tisha tvachim. The height of the menorah was 9 tvachim. And that is Rav Shimi bar Chila Rav, he asked on Rav from a Mishnah Masechtas Tamid. The Mishnah says, Evan Haislef in the menorah, there was a rock in front of the menorah, Ubash Shalish Malas, and on it with its 3 steps, Shaleh HaKoyin Oymed, because on that the Koyin would stand up on, Umeit Vesenerus, and by standing on that he would go ahead and clear out and fix the candles, the wicks, and the oil that was there in the menorah. Now, if the height of the menorah is only 9 tefachim high, then why do you need a stone that the kohen has to stand on to? 9 tefachim is not that high. It's not the height that a person has to be able to reach over. It's pretty low, actually. So why would you need a stone? So Malei Sarav said to him, Shimiat? You're asking me such a question? Kika, I mean, when did I say it's 9 tefachim high? Misvas kon malamala. I was talking about from the bottom edge of the branches and upward, from that top half was 9 tefachim. And from the ground up until the branches was 9 tefachim, exactly as we explained in the previous tav, for a total height of 18 tefachim. And therefore, there's no difficulty for Rav. 18 tefachim is a little higher. That requires a rock that he stood up onto that he gets that height advantage in when he's taking care of the menorahs on the top. Continuing on this topic, the Gemara says, Ksiv, there's a pasuk in Divrei Yomim Beis that says, Vaperach v'haneiros v'almakachayim, the flour, the lamps, and the tongs, Zav, who was made out of gold. Michlis Zav. There was the gold of Michlis. So asking about my Michlis Zav, what does this word in the Pasuk mean? So Ravami says, Shekilos, it's from the term of there was liquidated. Shekilos l'chal Zav sagar shal Shlema. They used up all what's called the closed gold that Shlema Melech had. What does it mean, Zav sagar? As the Gemara in Yuma of Memheim and Alpha explains, when that type of gold is being sold, all other stores close up shop that's selling gold because there's nothing compared to the quality of this Zav Sagar. So when it says Michle Zav, they had liquidated all the top gold that Shlema Melech had. Then remember Yudim Rav, it says, Ese Menoris Asa Shlema. Shlema Melech made 10 Menoris. V'chol Achas V'achas Hevilo Elev Kikar Zav. And each one of them, they brought 1,000 Kikar of gold, which is an enormous amount of weight of gold for each menorah. V'chnisu elav pam l'kor, and they brought that gold and they put it 1,000 times into the fire, into the kiln. Then midu el kikar, and then from the 1,000 kikar, it ended up becoming so refined until it was 1 kikar of gold. So you see that they liquidated, they used up so much gold, they used up all Shlema Melech's gold to make the menorahs. That's what's called michle zav. And that is the Gemara Ini, is that so? They used up all Shlema Melech's money to make the menorahs? But V'ksiv, the pasuk says, "Melachem Alev v'chol klei mashkia melech Shlema Zav." All the vessels that were used for beverages by Shlema Melech was made out of gold. V'chol klei beis yahar levanon zav sagar, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were from this closed gold. In kesav nechshav me Shlema lema'uma, silver in the days of Shlema was not considered even anything significant at all. You see that he was fabulously wealthy still, and you said that kalisa, that michle zav, that they used up all this gold. Says the Gemara, Zav Sagar Kamrinan. The highest quality, the closed gold, that's what they had used up. That's what's called Michle Zav. You're right, regular gold and silver for sure. He had much and he didn't have any, he wasn't wanting of anything, but it was the Zav Sagar that they used up. Now that is the Gemara, Michasa Kulihar. The narrative that you said, is that really so that you could take 1,000 kikar of gold and refine it till it's down to 1 kikar? A 1,000 time difference? Could it really diminish that much? But Vatanu in the Brayser Bisbihudai, he says, my son, there was an incident, that the menorah that they made in the Beis HaMikdash was more than that which was made by Moshe Beinu, but dinars of Kurdikini. Kurdikini is a type of a currency that it was just a difference of a golden dinner, not so much. But they wanted it to be exact like the measurements like it was by that which Moshe Beinu had made. V'chnesu peis pa'am l'kurin. So they put it 80 times into the kiln, then we do al kikar, and then they were able to diminish it to make it to exactly the kikar that was in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So if it took 80 times to make that little bit refinement, how could you say that they diminished it 1,000-fold from 1,000 to 1 kikar? Says the Gemara, no, because Kivin the Kai, since in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, they refined it. So Kai, it was so refined that it was already down to its basic, barest, it was already, any impurities were already gone. So therefore, you're right. Now, even it took 80 times just to get it down, even the amount of a dinner, but in the days of Shlomo, when it was regular Zav Sagar, then yes, they were able to refine and refine until it went from 1,000 kikar to 1 kikar of refined gold. Continuing this topic of our Mishnah regarding the Menorah, Amar Shmuel ben Nachmina, Amar Bienis, and it says, Ma'idach Seh, what does it mean the Pasuk in Yikra? Al HaMenorah HaTahira, on the pure Menorah. So says Rabbi Yenison, says that Sheyardu Ma'asel Mimakam Tara. The Menorah is called Tara because its actions, the construction of the Menorah came down from a pure place, meaning from heaven. It was showed to Moshe Rabbeinu how to go ahead and make the Menorah. That is the Gemara El Me'at, but if that's the case, then Al Shulchan Atar. What's the Pasuk when it describes the Shulchan, the table in the Mishkan? It says on the pure Shulchan. She heard the Ma'aseh Makam Tar. What do you think that also means? Say that its construction was shown to him from a holy place from heaven? No, that doesn't have the difficulties of construction like the Menorah. El rather Tar Machlal Shutami. Rather, what does it mean? It means saying that it should be Tar, inferring that it could contract Tumah, and it's saying make sure it's Tar and not Tameh. Hachanami Tar Machlal Shutami. Here also, when the Menorah talks about a Menorah Tar, it just means to say make sure it maintains its Tar and that it doesn't contract and become Tummy. That's what Zigmund know. Bishlam Hasam, we understand over there by the Shulchan that yes, the Pasuk would have to tell you that it could contract Tumah, and therefore it's telling you make sure it stays Tar. And why? Because like the question that was asked Kiddi Rish Lakish had asked, Amar Rish Lakish, says, Ma'idich Siv al Shulchan Atar. He asked this question, he says, what does it mean on the pure table? Mechlal Shu Tami. That sounds like the inference is, but that it could become Tami. The difficulty with that is, Kli Eitza Asla Nachasu, the table is made out of wood that's used to be stationary, which doesn't move. Any wooden vessel that's made to be stationary does not contract tumah. How do we know this? Because it says by the tumah of shratzim, says mechol kli eitz ayir or isak, where it compares all the different types of vessels that become tumah from a sheretz, from vermin. It compares it to a sackcloth. Now, just like a sackcloth is supposed to be carried both when it's full or empty, so to all other things that could contract tumah. They're only going to contract if they're things that are movable both when they're full and when they're empty. In contrast, metal is not mentioned by the sackcloth, and that's why, as we're going to shortly see regarding the menorah, that even when it's flat and even if it's not something that's movable, it's also mekabel tumah. Now, so the difficulty is, so well then how does it contract tumah if it's meant to be stationary? Ela Malamed rather teaches that it wasn't stationary. What do you mean? That they would actually lift up the Shulchan when the Jewish people would make the pilgrimage to Yerushalayim 3 times a year on the 3 Yom Tovim, and that's why it was considered something that was metalt the Moli Varekim. It actually was movable. And they would show them, so they would lift up that they could see the showbreads, the 12 breads that were on the Shulchan, and they would tell them, look how dear you are in front of Hashem. What do you mean? What do you see by looking at the breads that the Jewish people are dear to Hashem? Could you Meshubban Levi? Remember Meshubban Levi that he said, Nes Godl Nasab Lechem Upon Them. And the miracle is to show the Jewish people that Hashem is paying attention to them. There was a great miracle that was by the Lechem Upon Them. Because Siluke Kisidure. When they removed it the way exactly it was when it was prepared. Shnemak says the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, Lasum Lechem Cham Bayemi Lakhe, to take the warm bread, to place the warm bread on the day that they take it, meaning it sounds like that when they take it, it was still warm as it was when they put on a week before. And therefore, they lifted up the Shulchan to show them that, so it actually was Mekabel Tumah. And that's what the Pasuk is telling you, that no, it should remain Tar, Allah Shulchan Tar, that no one should convey Tumah to it. But Allah, over here by the Menorah, Tahir Mechlal Shei Tumah, you think it would call the Menorah Tar to say that, oh, make sure it's Tar, that because it's inferring to you and telling you, like by the Shulchan, that it could be Mekabel Tumah? And that's just like, no, Pshit, that's obvious. Klimatris Nenu, the Menorah is a metallic vessel of a Klimatris Mekamatumah. Metallic vessels Mekamatumah in all situations. Ella, rather, obviously it's not teaching to maintain Tahara. Of course it's supposed to maintain Tahara in the base of Mikdash. And it's not teaching you that, oh, that because it could become Tameh. By the Shulchan, that's a Chiddush. It's telling you it's not an Osla Nachas. By the Menorah, there's no Chiddush. Ella, rather, that's what we said. Sheyardim Asem Makam Tahara. So what does Tahara mean by the Menorah? It means because its construction was shown from heaven to Moshe Rabbeinu from a pure place. Tanya Lutner Brice on this topic, Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, he says, Arayin Shalesh, an ark of fire, v'shulchan shalesh, the table of fire, u'menorah shalesh, the candelabra of fire, yoridim min hashamayim, were sent down from heaven. U'ra'im Moshe, v'asakam Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu saw them, and he made the figures just like that. Shneimar says the pasuk in Shemayis, u'ra'ei v'asei, and the gear says b'tavnisim, you should look and you should make as their structure, which is going on the parasha of the Aron, the Shulchan, and the Menorah. And it says, Asha Atam Mar Bahar, which he was shown on the mountain, which obviously he was shown. And that was a fire of he saw these things in the image of fire, and then he was able to make that duplicate in the real thing. Now, that is the Gemara Liyatub. If that's the case, then the pasuk that says in Shemais, Vakimoises HaMishkan, you should erect the Mishkan, Kimishpata, according to the laws Asher Harisa Bahar that you saw on the mountain, Vahachinami Hirosa, that a Mishkan of fire came down from heaven? Says Gemara, Nahachik Siv Kimishpata. Here, by the Mishkan, when it says that you were shown on the mountain, it says, what were you shown on the mountain? It says, Kimishpata Ashata Hisabar. He was shown the laws that he saw in heaven. From heaven, hasam ksiv bitavnisam. But by the other things, the Aron and the Shulchan and the Menorah, those things it says in their form. It sounds like he saw the actual thing, not the halachas, and that's why it says that he saw those things in fire. Versus by the Mishkan, he saw the halachas, but not the actual objects themselves. Amar b'chir b'rabba Amar b'yechanan says Gavriel chagur kamin pesik yahay. The Malach Gavriel, he was girdled like with a type of an apron, the way craftsmen do when they're trying to do a real job. They girdle themselves so that their garments should not get dragged into the act that they're doing. And he basically was getting all in work clothes, the Malach Gavriel, so to speak. And he was showing to Moshe Rabbeinu how to go ahead and construct the menorah. That's like it says in Pasuk in Midbar, and this is the activity, the construction of the menorah, as if he was being shown this by the Malach Gavriel. There were three things that were difficult for Moshe Rabbeinu. Pointed it out, so to speak, with his finger. And they are the menorah, the new month, and the laws of the forbidden vermin, which menorah says the pasuk b'midbar v'zemayis menorah. He said this. What do you mean this? This is so to speak. Hashem was pointing it out to him. Resh Chodesh, the new month, like it says the pasuk in Shemayis, Chodesh Hazel Lachem Resh Chodashim. This is the new month
for you. Meaning at the time it's called the Moilad of the Levana, the new moon. It's not recognizable unless very little, and it's not so easily recognizable. Like the Gemara Rishonah of Chof Manav says, Kizeri Isim. Like if you see like this, then you know it's the new month. That was very difficult for Moshe Rabbeinu to clearly ascertain what it is until HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him in the beginning, right there, what was the new month, when what was called the Magla, when it was beginning the new moon. And Shratzim wasn't recognizable to him which ones were the Tami ones, which ones were the Tahar ones. The Chsiv, and it says in Pasam Yikra, V'zeh lechem atami, this one's the Tami one for you, this one's not kosher, this is what he was being shown, Zeh, that he had to be shown because it was difficult for him to know what exactly was being said. But yes, I mean, there are those who say, Av hilcha shchita, that also the laws of slaughtering, he didn't know exactly what would be called mugremes, which is exactly out of the area beyond the neck where you're allowed to slaughter. Shenemak says the pasuk in Shemayis, v'zeh ashetas l'mezbeach, and this is what you should do on the altar, which, when it says doing, the beginning of the doing is the slaughtering, that's the first thing you do with a carbon, and it says zeh, because there he was shown, so to speak, with Hashem's finger, to show him what exactly is the precise slaughtering. Now going back to the halacha of our Mishnah, the first item was the menorah. Then the Mishnah continues, Shti parashas shebe mezuzah ma'ak v'zuazu, that the two parashas in the mezuzah on every doorpost, which is Shema and Hayivim Shemaya, they're both integral. V'afil k'sav echad ma'ak, and even one letter is integral. And that is the Gemara Peshitta, obviously, that one letter is going to be ma'akav, because it says uchsavtam, like the Gemara in Shabbos Kof Gimel Mabez says, uchsavtam means k'sivatam, has to be a complete writing. So Mevidim Rav, he says, Lo nitzucha el lukutza shel yod. No, the chiddush of our Mishnah is that even for the point of the yud, which Rashi holds, that means what he calls the right leg of the yud. The bottom of the yud, on the bottom right, is like a leg coming out, little loin coming out. Even that little point is also going to be ma'akav. That is Gemavon HaMibshit, but that's also obvious. That's not the exact letter. And of course, if it's not the exact letter, because even one line is off, it's not the letter, and then you're missing the letter. So of course, it's not going to be Ksivatama. So on that says the Gemara, no, El Ki'idach Rav Yehuda Merab. Rather, it's teaching a different halach of Rav Yehuda Merab in our Mishnah when it's saying even one letter is Ma'akiv. The Amr Rav Yehuda Merab, He says that kol ois she'en gvil mukvla ma'abar ruch esa, any letter that's not surrounded on all four sides by parchment, meaning to say because it's connected to another letter, psul, it's invalid. And that's what the Mishnah is telling us when it says ksav echad ma'akven. In other words, all the halachas that pertain to every letter individually is going to be ma'akven, the laws of mezuzah and tefillin. Meaning, of course, the letter has to be as is, and that's not being torn on Mishnah. That we know from ksav to maksibatama. When it's saying the letter, it means to say that it has to be independent of the other letters because it has to be surrounded on all four sides by parchment. Now, a related halacha, Amar Shein bar Nadvach Meshmed Rabbi Yehuda, says, Nikav Teichei Shel Hei, which the first interpretation of Rashi says, that the inside of the hay means to say the left leg, which is in the inside of the hay, in that air space, is the left leg. If that bottom leg that's hanging, that half of above, on the bottom left of the hay, if there's a hole in that, kasher, it's going to be kasher. Yerechai, but if there's a hole in the right leg, which is the big part, which is connected to the top of the hay, then pasul is going to be invalid. Now, Amr B'Zeira, he says, L'didime farshli menei de Rav Huna, it was explained to me from Rav Huna, and Rabbi Yaakov, Amar, L'didime farshli menei de Rabbi Yehuda, that he said it was explained to me from Rabbi Yehuda, as follows. Nikiv toicha shel hei, yeah, like we said, that if there's a hole in the left leg, then it's going to be kasher. Yerecha, the right leg, then it depends. Im nishtari by kashir ois katan, if there's enough left over of that, so to speak, that vav, that the right part, the right leg of the hay, the measurement of a small letter, meaning that of a yud, that much is left, then kasher is going to be kasher. Then lav, possible, but if not, it's going to be invalid. Now, the second interpretation, Rashi, is actually, toichei doesn't mean the left leg. It means the parchment, the empty space in the middle of the hay. If there's a hole over there, but the rest of the letter is intact, then it's going to be kasher. But if the leg has a hole, then it's going to be possible. And Rashi says, we're talking about halachas that pertain to tefillin. And the Gemara relates this with a story that narrates this halacha, that Agra, that was his name, Chamud Rabbah was the father-in-law of Rabbah, he's a Gittin Tamid Beis, Ifsikalei Kara Dehei, he had a hole in the leg of the hay, in his tefillin, the Ha'am Benikva, the word Ha'am had a hole over there in the leg of the hay, and also Chamud Rabbah came from the Rabbah, Amalei said to him, like we said before, in Mishtari by Kashir Ois Ketan Kashir, in that big leg, if there's at least the measurement of a small letter, meaning that of a yud, that's how big the leg is, although generally it's supposed to be longer, like a vav, then it's going to be kosher. If not possible, if not, then it's invalid because it's not a proper letter, and if it's not a proper letter, then you don't have a uchsavtim, you don't have a ksivatama. Another story related, says the Gemara, Rami bar Tamri, who chamud de Rami bar Dikuli, who was the father-in-law of Rami bar Dikuli, ifsikalei kar de vav, he had a hole in the vav, de v'yaharig benikva. So he had a hole in this vayarik called Bechor, which is in the parsha and tefillin of Ahoy Kebiyacha at the end of Kaddish Lika Bechor, where the pasuk there says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he saved the firstborns, he says, Hashem killed all the firstborns of Eretz Mitzrayim, Bechor Adam, Bechor Behema. Now, so he had a hole, and now the vav looked like a yud, because the hole separated it now. Also, coming to Reb Zera, he came from Reb Zera. So Amalei said to him, Zil Aisi Nuka, bring a child, the Loi Chacham, that's not too intelligent, because if he's too smart, he's going to understand that he has to read it with a Vav. So although it'll look to him like a Yud, because that space is interposing, so it looks like not connected to the bottom half, he's going to understand if he says Yaharig, that it's going to be like blasphemy towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because one's going to read it now as if Chas V'Shalom, that's Yaharig Hashem. So that he didn't want to say. So he would definitely read it as not as Yaharig, but rather as Vayarig, that Hashem killed. So you can't bring too intelligent, because then he's going to know not to say it as a Yud. But V'lei Tipish, neither can you bring a too foolish of a child, because if he's a Tipish, then he's not going to know how to read anything but a full letter. So bring a middle type of a child, who is innocent, but smart enough, but not too smart, and Ikarlei Vayaharig Kasher. If he's going to read it as if it's a Vav, even though we could see that there's a space, but if you read it, if you just look at it as a child, you read as a vav, so then it's still valid as a vav, and it's going to be kasher. Eloi, if not, yaharigu apostle, then it's like a yud. Yaharigu, then it's invalid, because it's not the correct letter, and then you don't have a ksivatam. Now, continue on these halachas of safras. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Merav, he says, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven, when he was receiving the Torah, Matzla HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he encountered HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sheyeshu V'Kayishu Kesarim La'isis, that Hashem was, so to speak, sitting and tying on crowns to the letters, like the crowns, what's called the tagin that we have in the Sefer Torah, on top of the letters. So Amal Levan, he sent in front of Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Mima Akva Yotcha, who's stopping you, what you're writing, that you have to add on these crowns? Why don't you just give the Torah as is? So Amalai, he said to him, Adam Echad Yash, there is one person, Sha'asad Liyas Besev Kamadaris, who's going to be at the end of many generations, Vakiva Ben Yosef Ishmael, and his name is Akiva Ben Yosef, the famous Rabbi Kiva. Sha'asad Lidrash Al Kol Kaitz V'Kaitz, that he's going to expound in every single crown, Tilan Tilan Shalalachas, mounds and mounds of Alachas, and that is because everything is alluded to in the Torah, and Rabbi Kiva was able to extrapolate from all these different crowns, mounds and mounds of Alachas. And that's why Hashem says, I'm putting it here. And that's related to the world, and that's what it's in, put into the Torah. So I'm lefond of Moshe Rabbeinu in the front of Hashem, Rabbeinu Shalom, Master of the World, Hareli, show me this great person. So Amalai Hashem said to him, Chazer l'acharecha, go towards your back. And halach v'yashav v'sev shmein ha'shuri. So he went back, and he went, and he was in the classroom, in the shir of Rabbi Kiva, and he was sitting 8 rows back, which the more intelligent ones were the ones in the front. Moshe did not know what they were saying there in that class. So he became weak. But once they reached to one halacha that needed to be explained, and the students of Rabbi Kiva said to Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Benayin Lach, where do you know this from? So he said to them, it's halacha that was received from Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. So the consciousness of Moshe Rabbeinu was calmed down, because since it was the halacha was being said over in his name, even though he hadn't received it, so that appeased him. Chazav bal lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he came back in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Am lefan, he said in front of him, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Master of the World, Yesh lecha adam kezeh, you have someone like this, like Rabbi Kiva, v'ata noisin Torah al yodi, and you're giving the Torah through me? Amalai, so he said to him, shtayk, silence. Kach ola b'machshob lefanei, this is how it came in my thought in front of me. So Amal Lefanav, he said in front of Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Master of the World, Harisenu Terasa, you showed me his Torah. Harinu Scharis, show me his reward. So Amalai, he said to him, Chazer l'acharecha, turn to your back. Chaz l'acharecha, turn to his back. Rosh Hashaykun Besar b'makon, he saw that they were weighing his meat in the marketplaces where the butchers sell meat. Like the Gemara Brachas HaMachal v'Manav says that the Romans combed his flesh with iron combs. And like, so to speak, they had his flesh that they were selling in the marketplace. So Amal Lefanav, he said in front of Hashem, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Master of the World, Zut Torah v'Zut Schar, this is the Torah and this is its reward. Amalai, so he said to him, Shtayk, silent. This is how it came in front of me in my thought. Rava says, continuing on the halachas of Safras, he says, Shiva Isis Shriches Shleshes Yunim. There are 7 letters in the Chaf Beis Isis of the Torah that need to have 3 crowns. Meaning there's like these 3 little crowns in each one of these letters. So like by a shin in the left leg, and by an ayin in the left leg, and so to all of them that we're going to quote, there's 3 crowns. It's like, it looks like a shin, where one crown is going to the right, one to the left, and one going upward. Ve'elohin, and these are the 7 letters, what's called Shatnez Gatz, which is the shin, ayin, tes, nun, zayin, gimel, tzadi, whereas Rashi points out, it's not only the tzadi, the end of tzadi, it's even the regular tzadi, and not just the end of nun, not just the regular nun, but also the end of nun, that they also have these crowns in them. Now, Amar Vashri, Vashri says, Chazin alhu l'safri daf koni de beirav, he says, I saw by the precise scribes of the yeshiva of Rav, that they were very precise to make a complete and beautiful writing, the chatru lahu legage the ches, that according to Rashi's interpretation means to say that by the roof of the ches, on the top left corner, it was like a cane, as the pictures in Rashi have, coming out in the top left, and v'tol lekari de hay, they also had the left leg of the hay hanging in midair, as the Gemara explains. They had this like little cane coming up in the top left of the ches. Claim is so to say, Chai Hu, him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is living in the heights of the world. And that's why it's a ches, which is from the word chai, of living, like something moving up towards, showing that that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu lives in the elevated parts of the world. And v'tolei l'kari d'hei, and they also had that the left leg of the hay was just hanging in mid-air, meaning that it's not attached to the roof of the hay, is k'debayim nei Rabbi Yehuda Nesi'im Rabbami. That alludes to this idea that Rabbi Yehuda Nesi'a had asked from Rabbami. He asked him, what does it mean in the pasuk in Yeshaya? Bitchu v'Hashem adayad, trust in Hashem forever and ever. Ki b'ka Hashem tzorei lamim, because in God, Hashem, the worlds were created. So Amalei said to him, what the Pasuk is saying is, Kol HaToyle B'tchayinu HaKadosh Baruch, whoever suspends his trust in Hashem, Hashem is going to be a refuge for him, Olamim, like the Pasuk says, he's a tzur, he's a rock and protector for him, for worlds, meaning for in this world and in the next world. So Amalei said to him, no, this is what I was asking. Why does it change? And it says, Beka, V'leksiv Ka. You can read the Pasuk, trust in Hashem forever. And it should say, Ki Ka Hashem, Tzur Olamim. Because Ka, which is one of Hashem's names, Hashem, is Tzur Olamim. What's Beka? So on that says, Kedidar Shabbi Huda B'Rabbi Lai, that he said, Elu Shnei Olamim Shabar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's referring to the two worlds HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. It's actually, it's Beka, in Ka, is Hashem Tzur Olamim, meaning that it's actually not referring to Hashem's name itself, but it's referring to the two worlds that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with Ka. Echad Behei ve'echad Be'yud. One was with the letter Hey, and one was with the letter Yud. So the way we're reading the Pasuk is that because a person trusts in Hashem forever, so then in Ka, which is this Olamim, these two worlds, Hashem will be a source of protection for him, a tzur in Olamim, in these two worlds of Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Now, but ve'eini yedea im Olam Haba b'yud ve'olam hazeh b'hei. And I wouldn't know, however, if was it the world to come that was made with a yud and this world with a hey, or im Olam hazeh b'yud ve'olam haba b'hei, or maybe that this world was created with a yud and the world to come was created with a hey. Now, k'shoemim, but when the pasuk says in Bereishis, Elo tells us Hashemayim v'aretz b'hi baram, that these are the derivatives of the creation of heaven and earth when they were created. Al tikri b'hi baram, don't read it when it was created. Ela b'hei baram, he made it with a hey. Havo'ayma oil mazeh b'hei, that tells us that this world was created with a hey. V'oil ma'ba b'yud, and the world to come is made with a yud. And that's what the pasuk is talking about. And that's this idea, as we're going to shortly see, why the hey has a left leg hanging. As the Gemara explains, why was this world created with a hay? Because it's similar to a pavilion, and as Rashi says, that what does it mean that this world was created with a hay and next world with a yod? It means Hashem split up his name, which Hashem's name is Yud-Kei and Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, that from each letter he dripped out three drops, and from those drops were made water, fire, and either wind or, according to some Gersois, earth, which are these four elements, and the whole world, like it's brought in Sefer Yetzirah. And this world was made with a hay because it's, in a way, it's this world is similar to a hay, which is a pavilion that's open on the fourth side, just like the letter hay, which is open on the bottom. So why is this world similar to that? Shekala writes a lot, says, because that tells us the idea, whoever wants to leave this world and go out into evil ways, yatza, he's allowed to leave, the door's not closed, the person has the right. Umay tam italya kari, so then why is the left leg hanging? Now, that's a different reason. Really, it's closed on three sides, like a ches, and just open on one side. The reason why there's that little space open on the top left of the hay is to tell you the hadar b'tshuva ma'ayleleh. If someone repents, they open up a special opening between the left leg and the roof of the hay that the person could come back into the world. Now, on that is the gemara, v'leil b'hach. What do you mean? Why didn't they just come in through the bottom opening that he left from? Let him come back in through that way. Says the Gemara, Loi Mistayim Milsa. He's not going to be successful. Because whoever wants to purify himself and come back and repent needs assistance because of the evil inclination. And that's why they make a special assistance, an extra opening on the top left of the hay. Kedir Rish Lakish, like Rish Lakish Adam Rish Lakish. He says, Mayn Dev said, what does it mean in the Pasuk of Mishlei? Im Laleitzim Hu Yalit. If he wants to be a scoffer, a cynic, so then he could go ahead. Meaning it's open for him. He's allowed to become a letz. But when it talks about the humble ones, it says Hashem will give grace. Oh, it's telling you the idea because when someone comes to purify himself, they assist him. Hashem gives him something. Because you see this idea that to fight evil incarnation, to repent, to come back, to be, a person needs assistance. But to come to impurity, that they just leave the door open, that a person will naturally be inclined with his yitzhara, but for the good, a person needs the assistance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, therefore, that tells us why there's the left leg of the hay is not touching the top of the hay. Now, ask the Gemara, my time is late taga. Why does the hay have a small little crown on the top left of the hay as a crown going up? On that, on my Kaddish Baruch, he says, well, that's right on top of the opening of the hay, where that's opening if someone wants to be chayzeh b'tshuva, wants to repent, and that is, im chayzeh by Hashem is telling him a message. If he's going to repent, and the koishalei kesher, I'm going to tie a knot from where some gersoys have it, a kesser, I'm going to make a crown from on top of his head, because that's right on top of the person that's chayzeh b'tshuva, that repents. Now, continues the Gemara, why is the world to come created with a yud? Says the Gemara, because the righteous over there in the world to come are very little, like a yud, which is the smallest letter. Now, why is the yud have its head bent over? Says the Gemara, because just like the world to come, because the righteous over there have their heads bent. Why? Because all their actions of the righteous, they're not similar one to the other. Meaning, the honor that's given to one tzaddik is greater than the other righteous person, and therefore all their heads are bent, because they're embarrassed of their friend. Look what he got, look what he did. A lesson that a person should understand for the world to come, that his head is going to be bent unless he goes and makes his life as perfect as it's supposed to be in becoming the ultimate him. Now, Amar Rav Yosef, he says, "Hani tarte mili amar Rav b'svarim." There are these two halachas that Rav said regarding the laws of Sifri Torah, which the Gemara later on in the next Rav is going to say what the other halacha is. V'tanya tiyufte, but both of those halachas are refuted in brises. So chad hadam Rav. One of them is this that Rav said, "Sefer Torah sheyesh bei shtei tu'uyos b'chol daf v'daf yisakin." He says a Torah scroll that has two errors on every single page, that could be fixed. Shalish shiganis, if it has three errors, then it has to be concealed, it has to be put away and hidden away. Now, v'tani tiyufti, but the Braisa refutes him, because the Braisa says clearly, shalosh yisakin, three errors could be fixed, arba yiganes, if it's four errors, then it has to be hidden away. Now, tani learned the Braisa, but im yesh b'daf achas shlema, if there's one page that's complete, matzel salkuli, that saves on the whole Sefer Torah, meaning, even if there's errors on every single page, this one complete page saves it, and then you can fix the rest of the Sefer Torah. Now, on that, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta Mishmei de Rav, he says, "Behu dechsiv rubi de sefer shapra." That's only if at least the majority of the Sefer Torah is written well. Now, on this halacha, Amalei Abayi Rav Yosef, he asks, "I is behu daf sholish toyus mai." If that perfect page that we said that will save the rest of the Sefer Torah, if that perfect page has three errors, what's the halacha? Will that page save the rest or not? In other words, do we say, when we say that one perfect page has to be totally perfect without any errors? Or maybe no. When we say that one perfect page means that's one page that doesn't have four errors, because the rest have four and more, but three we're not bothered by. So Amalei, Rav Yisrael said to Abaya, yes, since we said that a Sefer Torah, that if there's three errors on every single page, then we said you could fix it, so then miskin. So then this page that has three errors, you could fix it because it doesn't have four errors, and therefore then you could fix it, then it's perfect, then it could save the rest of them. So even though the rest have four errors on every single page, this one has three, could save and could fix the rest of them, because this will save the rest of them. Now, moreover qualifies the Gemara, v'hanamili, when did we say, however, but that when there's four errors, then you have to hide it away? That's only chaseris, if let's say that there are letters missing in the Sefer Torah. Aval yiseris leslam, but when there's too many letters, extra letters, then that's not a problem, and you just go ahead and you scrape them off. Now, that is the Gemara Chaseris, my time alone. What's the reason why, when they're missing, then we say that four or more is a problem? So, Rav Kahani says, Mishum de Mechzi Kimenumer, because it's going to look spotted. Because what happens is that when you have to go and add those letters, you add them between the lines, and then it's not going to be a perfect type of a lines. It's going to be adding in letters in between the words. So when you have already four, and the Sefer Torah already looks spotted, that's not appropriate, and therefore you have to hide away. Now the Gemara brings a story relating to Salocha that Agra, who, as we said, Chamud Rababa was the father-in-law of Rababa, Havali Yisaris Besifri, he had too many letters in his Torah scroll, and he had four on a page, so which we said four errors on the page is a problem. So Asa Kamid Rababa, Amale, he said to him, "No, Loya Martin, we didn't say that it's psul if it's four errors on a page, Ella Bechaseris." Like we said, that's only if you're missing. And then when you add on, it's already looking spotted. But as we continue to have Lamed Rav Alf, I'll be serious, lesson, but what you're too many is not a problem. You could just scrape them off. Even if it's four more, it's not a problem, and it's still going to be a kosher Sefer Torah.